Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Dirt and Sprague continues.
I think I'm becoming lactose intolerant. Is that possible?
It's breakfast time with Dirt and Sprague.
Dude, I could choke down six of those easily.
Dirt and Sprague.
Eggs, breakfast, and go whoop ass.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in the one-year anniversary of Dirt and Sprague and 105.1 The Fan. Hello.
Ooh, I like it.
I've enjoyed it being on the FM dial. It's great.
1 year of 4 hours, too.
That's right.
Yeah. 1 year anniversary.
I think I lost about 2.5 years of my life in the last calendar year then. That's what I would say there.
That's your estimate? What's the going rate? What's the conversion rate of more hours of radio, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and end of life expectancy?
I would say in the last year, 71% of my days usually ends with me going, how is it already 4:30?
How did that happen?
What happened?
It's already dinner time, man. I'm like 3 hours away from wanting to crawl into bed.
Oh, dude. It's been great, though. I've had a lot of fun. We've had a lot of fun, and we will in the second hour of the radio program. Did a lowly intern ruin the biggest announcement of the summer?
Ooh.
Some are speculating.
May or may not have happened.
We will get to that and reveal what we're talking about. But it is hour number two, and it is time to step into the cafe de Dirt and Sprague.
I poo-pooed your pancakes yesterday. What do you got for me today?
Yeah, you did.
I feel like I need some steak and eggs this morning.
You need something hearty today.
I need
steak
to fill
and
up.
Eggs.
I don't ever. I love. You know, I love me some good steak.
Yeah.
I don't like ordering steak as much at restaurants in general now because I know how to cook them and I know how I like them. I don't. That's never on my radar for breakfast, and I don't know why. I should try it sometime. Steak and eggs sounds delightful, but I don't think I've ever ordered it at a breakfast place.
I don't order them at restaurants. I eat it at my house.
You'll do steak and eggs for breakfast.
Like if I have leftover ribeye.
Yeah, but you want fresh cooked one in the morning.
Steak.
Throw one on the grill?
No.
I've never done that before.
That's interesting.
I've probably had leftover steak for breakfast now that I think about it, but I've never cooked one in the morning.
Like, you
never like turn on the grill on a hot day like, throw steak on. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. What are you doing out there, Dad? You're still in your boxers. Grilling a ribeye.
Today on the menu, a lingua breakfast burrito with a side of cheesy hash browns.
Oh, okay. I feel like we got something southern. We got some grits, like shrimp and grits or something in there.
Oh, I mean, that's on the menu if you want to order. I'm just telling you what today's special.
That's what the special is.
Lengua burrito with a side of cheesy hash browns.
I'll have just about any kind of breakfast burrito.
Do you know what that is?
I have no idea, but I'll eat it.
I thought it was... It's the Spanish sausage or Mexican sausage. I thought it was linguiça.
No, it's lengua.
Okay.
It's cow tongue.
Mm. Oh.
Let's do it.
And
different
I'm gonna tell you
from linguiça.
Had it in L.A.
Yeah.
Landed, was super hungry.
We're eating cow tongues now, huh?
Cousin goes, let's go to this breakfast restaurant. It's really good. He orders a lengua breakfast burrito. I'm like, what did you just order? Lengua. I was like, give me one of those.
Yeah, give me one of those. Get a little cow tongue.
And I was like, what is this? And he's like, it's cow tongue. And I was like, what?
Mm.
Tasted
tasty?
Really good.
Man.
Dude, yeah.
Who would have thunk it? A cow tongue's got good flavor.
It was shredded. I think it's a slow cook process. They shredded the hell out of it.
Yeah.
It was delicious. Haven't had it since, but it's
get somebody
really
that
good.
Knows how to prepare it. I'm sure it's delectable.
They know what they're doing.
A lot of football and odds and ends of audio to get to here in Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. Let's start in Major League Baseball.
Last year, one of the most surprising ones was Mason Miller going from the A's to the Padres for Leo DeVries, who's one of the best prospects in baseball. Well, Mason Miller could be a short-timer in San Diego. The Padres understand that they need starting pitching. They're not going to find any in their farm system. And starting pitching on the free agent market is extremely expensive. So if they could potentially flip Miller to a team that has some starting pitching depth, say the New York Yankees, the Seattle Mariners, there are plenty of others out there. It's something that A.J. Preller, their president of baseball operations, is entertaining at this point. This doesn't mean that Mason Miller is going to move, but considering just how much some of these teams need back-end bullpen help and just how big it would be to know that you're going into a playoff game, into the ninth inning, with the best closer in the world getting ready to lock things down, it makes a lot of sense that teams are going to try Are they going to be able to land him? Well, we got less than 2 weeks now to figure that out.
That's Jeff Passan. The MLB trade deadline is rapidly approaching here on August 3rd. And Mason Miller of the Padres, they think they're going to be selling off on Mason Miller. As a Braves fan, I would rather have Skubal. But Mason Miller, a nice little consolation prize for some team that's going to end up potentially getting him.
It's interesting with the Padres because they did a similar thing with Juan Soto where they traded for him from Washington. It was a massive deal. He was solid but not out of this world in San Diego. And then with 1 year left on his deal, what do? They dealt him to the Yankees, and you got some prospects in return.
Yep.
So it'd be interesting if they do that again with another high-value guy. I think Skubal is still the biggest name on the market, as he should be, because of his career and what he's accomplished. The Tigers are also just in a weird spot. Like, you're 6.5 out of first place. You're probably not going to do it. But because of the division you play in, you're not mathematically out of it. There's still a lot of baseball left. The AOS sucks, so it's not like they're sucking up all the wild card spots. So there's a chance that you can go on a run, and that's a really tough call to be in. If you think he's going to walk in free agency and you don't want to get through the arbitration thing again, I would still deal him. But he's going to be the biggest name. And Mason Miller may be number two because he's a hell of a closer.
They made it to the playoffs, Bo Nix rookie year. They lost, Buffalo Bills. Then they come back the next year, one of the top teams in the NFL, and then they get all the way to the AFC Championship, and they lose the quarterback. So we don't even know what they would have looked like full strength. But then they added Jalen Waddle, who can take the top off the defense. I've seen what Sean Payton can do when he has a guy that can take the top off the defense when he had a Brandon Cooks. So you give him a guy like that with the experience of this team, which is led by the defense. You need guys, and the Broncos have guys, but also they have people in the back end that can lock up. I believe is the best corner in all of football, and Pat Surtain. These guys can go all the way strictly on defense. But with Bo Nix's growth and being another year under Sean Payton, I just believe the Broncos right now are the best team in the AFC.
There's Gerald McCoy on the NFL Network. Dirt, do we agree that whether you think Denver is going to win the AFC or a Super Bowl,
yeah,
is the collective we in the media kind of underselling the narrative that they're the best team in the AFC? Because it kind of feels like we are.
I agree completely, yeah. I agree. I mean, they were in the AFC title game last year. They beat Buffalo in a playoff
Most
game.
Most believe they win that game if Bo's playing and not
in the AFC title game, yep. Right, if he stays healthy. And then, who knows about a Super Bowl and how that all would have played out. They damn near beat the Pats without
the
starting quarterback.
The
I don't think they would have either, but I think they would have given a much better fight against Seattle, and maybe that defense would have been Sam Darnold into some turnovers and all that kind of stuff. And so Seattle would certainly look like the best team at the end of the year, and they deserve that, but I think the Denver game would have been a better matchup. It is interesting because I don't think I've ever heard I haven't heard somebody this offseason proclaim, Denver's the team to beat in the AFC, and they were just the team that knocked Buffalo out. They were the one seed. They won the AFC West. They won the Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert division. Beat Buffalo in a playoff game and damn near won an AFC title game without their starting quarterback. So when you look at what they are defensively, you did not see a massive sophomore slump from Bo. And in fact, I thought in moments in big games, in particular that Buffalo game, he was outstanding all game long and was a big reason why they won it. He didn't do that every week of the season, but when they needed him to, he was that. And that was kind of the Seattle format with Darnold last year. Darnold led the league in turnovers. He wasn't dynamite week in and week out, but when they needed him in the NFC title game, what did he do? He delivered, and their defense was good enough to carry him the rest of the way. They have one of the best defenses. They got good weapons, good solid offensive line. They should absolutely be considered the team to beat in the AFC.
But if I gave you $10 to bet on the winner of the AFC, would you put it on Denver? You may consider it. I don't know if you are.
Yeah, that's a tough one, too, because of what are the odds? Like, what are the odds that I'm getting on it? Because I'd imagine they're one of the three or four favorites.
They
so
can't
am I gonna
be ahead
go
of Kansas City. Well, they might be actually ahead of Kansas City. That's a good question. Look up the odds.
I'd imagine Buffalo is still probably
Buffalo's
at the top
won
of the list. Baltimore's one.
Baltimore, Buffalo.
Plus 470. Buffalo. So, yes, I would. To answer your question, I would. Holy shnikes. Yes, I absolutely would.
Where are they at?
This is a Sports Illustrated odds, so I don't know what book you're using.
I got DraftKings up. They are plus 1025 to win the AFC.
Absolutely. They're
How
behind Houston, the Chargers, the Chiefs, the Pats, the Bills, and the Ravens. I absolutely would play
seven teams you name? What
yes
you name there?
Yeah.
Seven teams ahead of the Broncos in the odds category?
Their win total, their over-under right now is 9.5.
Yeah,
I mean, I think that's part of the division, though, too, right? Like, Kansas City might be better to them.
Right, Chargers have been good. Chargers beat them once last year. I think they split last year. We'll see how Vegas is. I'm not expecting a lot from Vegas. But, yeah, based on, if they were the favorite, I don't know
Six
how I'd feel about that.
Kind of crazy.
Just because the odds are plus 470, but to have the seventh odds in the AFC to win it, yeah, dude, I actually might go make that bet right now.
Order up! If you look starting on November 1st all the way through the bowl game, there were very few players in college football that played better than Arch Manning. This performance against A&M in the final game of the regular season, the performance against Michigan in the bowl game, he was lights out. If he can carry over some of that momentum into this upcoming season, the sky's the limit, because he's already faced the hardest thing you can face as a player, and that was doubt. Well, he got through that and became a stronger player as a result in the final few games of the season. So if he can just start where he finished, he's going to be in a great spot to potentially secure the Manning family's first Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, there's McElroy on the SEC Network on Arch Manning winning the Heisman. I'm not going to ask you the simple, like, Dirt, is Arch going to win the Heisman?
Will he or will he not?
I'll ask you this question. What conference does the Heisman winner come from?
Oh, that's a great question. That is a great question.
You got to bet against your boy?
I mean, that. I think the first thing in my mind is the Big Ten, because I have Jeremiah Smith to choose from.
Well, you also have his quarterback.
Julian Sain was a finalist.
Yeah.
Indiana won the Heisman last year, so maybe they do it again.
Mm-hmm.
You know how I feel about Lincoln Riley as a head coach. One of the things he can do is have Heisman-winning quarterbacks, no matter how good or bad his team is, and he's got a starting quarterback returning. I have my guy back, who was knocking on the door until some late-season games and didn't quite make it as a finalist. When I look at the SEC, like, I don't laugh at the notion of Arch winning a Heisman. I think you go back to the end of last year and pull up his game logs from the last 5 to 6 weeks. He played really good football down the stretch for them. He got off to a brutal start, all the expectations, pressure of the world on him. So I don't laugh at the notion of him doing it this year. He's got to get off to a better start. Outside of that, from a quarterback standpoint in the SEC, and it is primarily a quarterback award, who else do you trust in the SEC? Sam Levitt quit on his team and didn't stay healthy last year at ASU, so maybe he's the guy, but there's some doubt there.
Can I give you the odds?
Yeah, go ahead, fire away, because nobody's picking Gunnar Stockton to win the Heisman.
Who do you think is the favorite right now? I'm looking at FanDuel. We don't have FanDuel here, but like, who do you think is the favorite on the FanDuel?
Is it Arch Manning?
It is not.
It is not Arch Manning.
It's not Arch Manning.
Is it Julian Sain?
It is not.
No. Is it my guy?
It is not your guy.
It is not my guy either. Yeah. Jeremiah Smith, are we going wide receiver?
It is not.
Wow.
I know.
How far down the list are
it's
we
okay.
going?
It's college football. There's a million names. C.J. Carr.
Okay. Yeah.
Arch is second.
Not a conference.
Independent. Darian Mensah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Trinidad Chambliss. Jeremiah Smith. Julian Sain. Dante Moore. All tied for 13-1.
13-1 odds. Okay.
Hoover is 15-1, Stockton's 20, Keelan Russell 22, Mayava 25-1. If you like Lincoln Riley,
those are good odds.
That's great odds.
If you're looking to gamble on it.
Levitt is tied with Mayava at 25, Mateer 25, Marcel Reed at A&M is 30-1, Malachi Toney 35-1, Bryce Underwood 35-1, Lenore Sellers is 40-1.
Don't Bryce Underwood to win the Heisman Trophy.
Certainly will not.
Don't save your money or donate it to my Venmo.
Certainly will not.
If you'd prefer. But Arch winning the Heisman.
So what conference are you picking?
I think I'm going to go with the Big Ten still because of all the quarterbacks I got to play with. I think I'll go Big Ten. Although independent is throwing a bit of a wrinkle at me.
Yeah.
Arch winning the Heisman would be a pretty funny storyline. After everybody kind of punted on him early last year, if he came out, won the Heisman, and becomes the number one overall pick, it'd be a bit of a quick redemption arc for him.
Also, him having the only Heisman of the Mannings is pretty nuts, isn't it?
His Peyton was a Eli wasn't a finalist, was he? I know Peyton was, but I don't remember Eli being a finalist.
Order up. Well, I feel like it's going to be a great, you know, competition battle. I feel like it's going to be great one for JJ to get that, you know, competition in that room for him to, you know, have to step up his game a little bit and have to just, you know, be that dog and have to come to training camp every single day with that on his mind that, you know, pretty much treating training camp like a game every single day. Just coming in and trying to make the most plays as possible, making the right reads, being that leader that we need him to be. And for K1, it's just all about coming in and being that leader that we expect him to be. Obviously, with the things that he already have done already in the league, you know, we know he's a playmaker. It's just all about coming to this team with that leadership role that we really need to fill in. And I feel like it's just going to be a great battle all in all. I'm excited to see, you know, just the guys flying around and feeling the energy of those two guys going at it all training camp.
That is Justin Jefferson of the Minnesota Vikings on the quarterback battle between Kyler Murray and J.J. McCarthy. Reportedly, this decision will not be made until right before week one.
We're going to play it all the way out, all the way through training
Kevin
camp.
Kevin O'Connell and the Vikings going to have to make a choice. I will still lay all my money on Kyler Murray.
Hold on. I'm talking to my sources. I'm getting breaking news. Hold on.
Wait
for the report to come in.
Okay,
Kyler Murray has been named the starting quarterback of the Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, according to my sources.
Hold on.
This is big news. Check your sources, too.
I got to text the GM of the Vikings.
Check your sources. Get on the phone with him for 2 hours. Let me know if he corroborates, but I believe...
Yeah, he said, don't share it on the air, Kyler Murray, the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, just texted me back.
Anybody, but Kyler Murray's going to be... nobody's listening. Okay. We're fine. Nobody can hear this right
now. Good to know.
Kyler Murray's going to be the starting quarterback of the Vikings. Yeah. What a big announcement. Who could have seen that coming? The Niners not going to win the job? I, for one, am shocked. Why do we do that?
I think it made us really hungry. It really did. And even though we had a winning record and we were 9-8, it wasn't good enough. We came in fourth place in our division, and it's really, you know, we came up short in a lot of ways. And finding a way to win our division first, again, get back on top of our division. We had won it 2 years prior, and finding a way to win that division and then see what happens when you get into the playoffs. But, yeah, we're hungry, man. We really are, and certainly excited to get after it.
Dirt, who was that?
That was Jared Goff.
Correctamundo. Dikembe Mutombo, Jared Goff on missing the playoffs last year.
He's got a bit of a lisp. His voice is pretty easy for me to identify. I don't know if lisp is the right word. He's got a...
I think the record in division, like the citing the division, also helped
that,
a lot.
Yeah, 9-8, but we didn't make the playoffs. You're like, that doesn't happen very often in many divisions unless you were in the NFC North last
year. They're such an interesting team. They've lost their starting cornerback to potential kidnapping.
Yeah, not good.
Can't wait to see the Seahawks pick him up off the scrap heap. Sure, that won't make anybody feel uncomfortable.
But he's also very weird in himself. He's almost a microcosm of their season, because if you look at his stat line, you're like, Jesus, Goff had a good year.
But the good teams, he sucked.
He was terrible
and he
in big moments.
The bad teams.
Yeah,
right?
He had 34 touchdowns and 8 picks. He was second in the league in passing yard. Like, he had a great year. And then you pull up the game log and you're like, when you played the Packers, you didn't throw a touchdown pass. On Thanksgiving Day, you did. Like, he had some really big clunkers.
Is it the game at Philly or is it the Green Bay game I'm thinking of when he played in some cold weather? He was abysmal.
There was a cold weather game late in the season for them. What was it? I know what you're talking about.
It was a prime game, wasn't it, or something? And I remember just watching and go, God, he is terrible in this game.
I'm just pulling up the game log. So they played Christmas Day against the Vikings, and he was atrocious. He had 190 yards and threw 2 picks. They lost.
Well, that wouldn't be cold weather.
J.J. McCarthy, it's in a dome. Domes. They went to Philly
in the
middle of November. He was 14 of 37.
Yeah, that's the game.
With a touchdown and a pick.
He was so bad in that game.
The game early against Green Bay in week one, he was really bad. Like, yeah, some bloated numbers against bad teams. But as a whole, when you look at it, he had a good year, but not great in big moments.
Would you bet him to win their division this year?
Yeah, I'd have no problem with that. I mean, 9-8, they lost some one-score games last season. If you go back and look, Minnesota somehow beat them twice despite not being great. Philly shut them down defensively. Mm-hmm. The two Green Bay games were relatively close. The later one a little bit closer. So I think you look for a one-score bounce back there. I certainly don't love that your corners are getting arrested in the offseason and now they're not on the team anymore. But I still largely love your offensive line. I love your wide receiver room. Jahmyr Gibbs is one of the best playmakers in the league. I still believe in Dan Campbell. They got to figure out the coordinator stuff ended up being a bit of a storyline for them last season. But yeah, man, when I look at the North, that's the beauty of that division. I think you can make an argument. Hell, even for Minnesota, if you get somewhat of the version of Kyler from like 3 years ago where he's competent and you have Justin Jefferson, you can make an argument. That's the beauty of the NFC North, as I see it. It's totally wide open.
If we can leave year one and have a foundation of who we are, our identity, proof of concept offensively, defensively, the wins will take care of themselves as long as our identity is what it is. If we are physically and mentally tough, if we are detailed, if we are player-led, if we are connected as a team, if we win in the margins, if we take care of what we have to take care of from a detail standpoint, I love where our talent is. We're plenty talented enough to go win every single game. Year one will be successful if we leave it, and we know exactly who we are, and we've got proof of concept to continue to build to.
That's new Auburn coach Alex Golish at SEC Media Day on what to expect in year one or what to look for in year one for the War Eagle.
It's an interesting year for them. He brought his transfer quarterback. I gave you the Alabama high school recruiting player rankings and where the kids are committing. None of the top 15 are going to Alabama. Like, 4 of them are going to Auburn, so he's winning recruiting battles. That kid, remember, they were a playoff dark horse, maybe not the right word.
That
but
kid
one of those,
was a, he should have been considered.
He had some great
the
moments.
Heisman.
They pulled
His
off big upsets
nuts.
Early in the year. They eventually got drilled by Miami, and then their season kind of, you know, tailspun from there. But they got off to such a good start early in the season last year.
Yep.
He's everything we hear about this guy is he's a great offensive mind. He's a good recruiter. He's one of these dynamic personalities. And so Auburn is a very unique place where they've always been second fiddle in their own state. And I know they've won a national championship beating my team, and they got to another one damn near beating Florida State. But now with the lay of the land in recruiting and kind of where things are at, it seems like there's a bit of a door open. I don't know what to expect from Alabama this year. If they come out and surprise, you could build a crazy amount of momentum. Mm-hmm. I really like that hire based on what he accomplished at South Florida, and I'm curious to see what he does in year one down there.
And our final one on Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague.
Order up!
Everywhere I go, TV, media, everybody wants to talk about the landscape of college football. And it's sad that what's forgotten, what wins games. Maybe that becomes boring, maybe that becomes mundane, but not at our place. I don't enjoy talking about all these things that are the landscape of college football. I enjoy talking about what wins and what allows our team to have the best chance. The consistency and performance is probably what I'm most proud of over the last 10 to 11 years, including this season. And the consistency and performance is what Georgia's been built on. Can we repeatedly do and be successful regardless of who comes in and out of your program?
There is Kirby Smart at SEC Media Day, and I could not agree more with Kirby Smart. I disagree with his NCAA breakaway thing if it's just the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
But amen, brother. I feel like half of the segments we do, it's like, hey, coming up next, Ross Dellinger with a report.
Right.
God, I don't care.
Right.
The percentage splits between the TV media, right? I don't care.
We'll talk football, man.
I just want to talk about the teams.
We'll
I like speculating and picking and guessing and is this team going to live up to the hype? Is that team going to disappoint? Like I like talking about that stuff far more than diving into this nerdy, yeah, just numbers-based, yeah, like how to fix college football stuff.
Georgia is still one of the best programs in the country, and somehow they have won the SEC in back-to-back years and not won a playoff game. And it sounds dumb because he just won two national titles, but all of a sudden there's like a, hey, what's wrong down here takeaway, because that's the way they operate in the SEC. And they got a very interesting year ahead for them, man. Gunnar Stockton back. He's like 37 years old, driving a 1984 pickup truck. He's one of those prototypical, like, yep, that's Georgia quarterback right there. Still loaded with talent, questions at the wide receiver room. But the SEC seems, unless you fully believe in Texas, wide open for them again to go win it for a third consecutive year.
Yeah. There we go. Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague. We do it every day at 7 a.m. We roll on hour number two on 105.1 The Fan.
Understanding power requires more than headlines. I'm Peter Hamby, host of The Powers That Be, a podcast from Puck examining politics, economics, and media to provide context, analysis, and clarity without sensationalism. We ask how power operates, who benefits, and what's at stake. If you want to move beyond breaking news to deeper understanding, join us on The Powers That Be. New episodes every weekday. Follow The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here on a beautiful, happy hump day. The weather outside right now is exactly how it was my entire time in Vietnam.
It's hot as balls.
Warm.
Muggy.
A little muggy,
yeah,
and hazy, but Vietnam's haze is not from forest fires, it's from pollution.
Oh, okay. Well, you know.
And sometimes you'd smell toilets.
None of it's good to breathe in either way.
But
haze
there were beautiful spots over there,
yeah,
I would say.
You get a little bit of a clearing. I enjoyed this one at the Fan text line. I get the dirt went to Oregon, so he's automatically arrogant, self-righteous fan. But he talks like Oregon is Ohio State, Michigan, or Alabama. No, your role, you aren't them, kid.
I love a good know your role. I wish you would have finished it like The Rock. Shut your mouth.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. I also enjoy being called a kid when I'm nearly 40 with a second kid on the way, so I appreciate that. You better be over the age of 60 if you're calling me kid in a text message. First off, second, you're a Beaver fan. Are you going to win three games this year?
Whoa.
I mean, I'm sorry.
What if they're not?
They are. They are.
We're winning five.
I can't hear you from down there.
Wish my daddy funded my life.
It's really fun, dude.
It is.
It's really fun.
It looks fun. It looks
it's
like
really
fun.
Enjoyable.
We shame people who are rich and have their parents pay for everything, and then it's like, but I bet it's awesome.
I just sent, so there's a stand-up comedian who's from Seattle. Uh-huh. I can't remember his name off the top of my head, but I just sent it to Swag. We can play it at some point, but he does like, he puts college football stuff into his bits.
Is he have glasses?
Yes, and he had a great.
I wanted to get this guy on because I think he's a Northwest. He does a lot of the local clubs here and in Washington.
Yes. He was just doing a show in Eugene,
yes,
and he had a great, so I just sent it to Swag to play because it was was a hilarious shot at my program.
Well, I mean, look,
fantastic.
You got to have fun, right?
That's
what makes everything great.
You got to poke fun.
College football and Cafe de Dirt and Sprague coverage on the Fan is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi. One price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. And want to remind you guys.
What else is happening?
Well, there's a couple reminders.
What?
Happy one-year anniversary to 105.1 The Fan.
Oh!
Binary Brewing and The Fan have teamed up for the only Fan IPA available for a limited time. Taste The Fan with Binary Brewing's signature West Coast IPA. Go to Binary Brewing's Beaverton location and ask them about their only Fan. So good, only The Fan and Binary Brewing can pull it off.
God bless the beaver.
And this afternoon, Isaac and Zook will be live out at the Kingston Bar and Grill across from Providence as
ole,
they have
ole, ole, ole,
their first home game post
ole,
the World Cup.
Ole.
And we got a manager.
No, we don't. I mean, we do, but we don't.
No, they announced it.
Yes, but we don't have him yet. He's not here. He's not coaching yet.
What?
We can't get him in. We got to get him stateside. He's not in the States yet. Can't get him into the country.
Where is he?
Swigard?
Where in the world is...
I don't know. I've heard multiple things, but I know...
What?
They can't figure out his visa. They can't get him.
He doesn't have a work visa. They are navigating the approval process for a work visa.
Is he white?
Yes.
His skin?
Yes.
And he's not here yet?
No.
It's a little shocking.
We've got a hang up right now. We can't get him on.
Usually that process is a little quicker.
Can we fast track this? Huh? Where's the TSA when you need him?
What's his name? Johannes Fuentes?
Marty Cifuentes.
Marty Cifuentes.
M-A-R-T-I.
That's such a fun name to say.
Marty?
Marty.
We got a Marty party?
We got a
Cifuentes.
Marty McFly.
Love that.
Cifuentes.
Marty's a cool name.
Marty's
you
want to
talk about
name.
Cool names for your second kid.
I'm not going to lie. Marty's been kicked around.
Like, and I hope you don't make it a Martin. I hope you
no,
actually.
No, just Marty.
His legal name is
Marty.
Marty
Johnson.
M-A-R-T-Y.
Marty Johnson.
Marty Johnson is hosting a game
Dude,
show somewhere.
Yeah, Marty. You go. You got to go Y, right?
Yes.
It has to go Y.
What's
yeah.
the other alternative?
I mean, you could go I-E. Marty.
No.
Yeah,
I lose respect for your Marty if you're an IE.
What about a double E? Marty!
Well, no. If I saw that on
you gotta
a,
go wide.
If you saw it on a roll call sheet, right? You're a teacher.
Yeah.
If I saw that, I'd say Marte Johnson.
Marte. You go Marte. Yeah.
Yeah. If I saw double E.
Yeah, probably.
I don't know if my brain would like make me go E. Yeah, I don't know if I'm doing that.
Marty's a solid name.
Marty is a solid name.
Every Marty that I hear of, I think good things about.
Oh, really?
I do.
You know a lot of Martys?
Marty McFly. Great guy.
All-timer.
Saved his family.
Do you know any other
Marty? Saved the world. Marty Smith, ESPN.
Right.
Phenomenal Marty.
Marty Party.
Been a friend of the program. We've
he
had
is.
Him on. We've talked about his
yes.
hair. He's got a great head of hair. I got no problem there.
If Smear's name isn't Marty.
Do I know any other Martys? I don't know.
You dropped the ball.
How many other famous Martys are there?
Is there any pro athletes named Marty?
I think there's been people who have got, like Marty Standish was a great winner, little winter hawk back in the day.
He was.
Beloved fan favorite, tiny guy. I don't know if his legal name was Marty.
It was like a nickname?
I don't know.
It might be Martin.
It might have been Martin.
Like a lot of times Martin.
I have tiny legs and I'm fat.
Yeah.
Hmm. What about Martin St. Louis? Did he ever go by Marty?
He does go by
he
Marty.
He goes by Marty.
Yeah, I think
yeah,
if you're a Martin,
him,
you
go by Marty.
Go by Marty.
Yeah,
Marty
yeah.
St. Louis.
So that, I mean, I think you count the Martins out there.
Did Martin Brodeur go by Marty Brodeur?
No.
No, I don't remember him going by that.
Would have been probably been better than Hasek if he had.
Would have won a few more.
That's what I would say. So go hang out. And when do we get our coach? When does that start?
I don't know. We got to get him in.
We have a coach and we can't get him in the country?
We can't get him in the country. He's not coaching. They're playing tonight. He's not there.
I don't know.
Who do they play?
Although the last time
FC
we played,
Dallas.
We didn't have a coach and we hung like half a hundred on Seattle. So...
Exactly.
Maybe we're just let the, you know, who was the, what's the Blazer coach?
Well,
did
Billups
the one
got
game?
Arrested by the feds and then Splitter ended up just being fine.
That is very true.
So maybe yeah. you don't need, maybe we don't
Caleb
need
Caleb Canales. Just keep Caleb Canales rolling out there.
Well,
getting
Jack
some dubs.
Cassidy will be down there again doing
yeah,
his
there
thing.
You go.
Do it, Jack. Do it. Get it done tonight.
Go enjoy a beverage at the Kingston with Isaac and Zook and then enjoy some Timbers night. Should be a nice evening. I think it's going to be hot. But
what time's the game start?
7:30.
Yeah.
Okay.
7:30.
Ish.
You'll get a sunset at least shortly after that. So
7:30 on a Wednesday?
You got to do
yeah.
it. It's 100 degrees out. You can't play at 5 o'clock.
Did they delay it because of the weather?
They do that all the time, yeah.
That's usually when they play weeknight games.
Hey, I'm not.
It's 2 hours.
Get your goalkeeper nonsense out of here, all right? This is a football conversation. You see your way out the door.
Football.
Yeah, get out of here.
Not
Swag and I are in lockstep. We know what's going on with the Timbers.
Shut up, you Palace fan. Did a intern ruin a big surprise? Did you see this in the association? So everybody's awaiting LeBron James. We played the commissioner yesterday. I actually needed to make a decision to make a schedule. because my entire league's dependent on a 41-year-old. Okay. Multiple reports coming out. Let's start with the first one. The first one is that Rich Paul on his podcast just openly said he made his mind up and then he changed his mind. Now he's reconsidering.
Ooh, so he had a pick so and he now knew he's going back on. Maybe this was the pick and then he saw the announcement and he said, oh, not so fast, my friend. I can't trust you.
No, I think it basically people are trying to piece together things because he said at FanFest, you know my decision if you've read the tea leaves. And if you tell me you made a decision and then you backed out of it to reconsider, I think that was Cleveland. And now you're like, do I really want to end in Cleveland?
Do I really want to live in Cleveland?
I brought him a title. Like, for two more years. It ended pretty well.
It did, yeah.
I don't want to be the 42-year-old. So maybe it's Miami. And Miami is the reason that it's being brought up is they posted on their YouTube video feed a video scheduled to play on July 27th, 5 days from now, titled LeBron James Introductory Press Conference.
Oopsies.
Everybody caught wind of this. The Miami Heat had to instantly delete it.
No. It was just precautionary.
That's what they said. They said the reason it got sent out was they were preparing in case he is deciding.
It was just
Miami.
A placeholder in our back end scheduling thing, so we're prepared if we get the phone call.
Now, there's somebody from the Dan Le Batard show down in Miami that is claiming he's heard enough to say that it is Miami.
I don't go to Miami. That sucks.
I mean, if you want to golf.
You're a year away from golfing whenever you want.
Yeah, but that handy don't jump to eight if you take a year off.
Go hit some balls. Get a bucket of balls. You'll be fine, LeBron.
Get a simulator in your house.
Yes, I guarantee he has one. You're fine. Yeah. He's a billionaire. He'll be all right. He can golf wherever he wants.
Dude.
Flying it out of town. It's the winter anyways.
That fighter, UFC fighter, Nate Diaz, have you seen this? He had a simulator built in his, like, he's got like one of those big garage sheds, you know, a massive simulator, and I just was so jealous.
That looked pretty awesome.
God, can you imagine just being out there at like 8 o'clock at night?
That'd be nice.
Just I saw in the bucket.
They always try and target you with the ads. I saw one for an inflatable one for your backyard, and I'm like, there's no way that works
sucks.
Efficiently. But
you know it sucks.
God, it looks.
If you
the
do
idea
it,
of it seems very intriguing.
If I did it, I'd want to do it right.
Yes, you'd want to go all in.
You got to make, you know,
drop
you got to put
40 grand on it.
I mean, I know somebody that has one in Happy Valley, and I don't think it was 40. I think it was like 11.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how
and it's a good one.
High tech everything is going to be, how many courses you have, all that. They can add up pretty quickly.
Sure.
I just don't want them to go to Miami. That's stupid. Miami doesn't care about the Heat. It's a bad fan base. We already saw the Miami thing. There's no sentimentality there. I don't want Giannis and Bam and LeBron, just three giant humans. Who aren't great. I mean, LeBron's the best shooter of the bunch. I don't want that. Give me the sentiment of Cleveland, the uniqueness of Philadelphia. I want to end with something either that actually feels good in the heart or is new and unique that we haven't seen before.
So we'll have to wait and see if the Miami Heat accidentally leaked their announcement of LeBron at a press conference. I read this last night and I had to do a double take very quickly in the association. The NBA, or not the NBA, the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame announced that they're creating a Steph Curry exhibit.
Okay.
And it's going to be opened in Springfield, Massachusetts at the end of this week. And I believe he is the only active player to have something in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
Really?
Yeah.
Like an exhibit? Because I'd imagine other guys' gear goes.
It's
like if Bam scores 80, does he send his shoes kind of thing?
Well, no. This is like an entirely dedicated thing
just
to
for
Steph
Curry.
It's the first time in 75 years that an active player will be honored within the walls of a dedicated exhibit in the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame.
How about that? I mean, it's pretty remarkable. He's changed the game, you can argue, as much as anybody in the modern history of the NBA, and has been one of the most influential players we have ever seen in the league. And it trickles all the way down to youth basketball and kids wanting to shoot half-court shots. So I don't blame me. It's just unique that he's the only one in all that time.
Are they just going to announce that he's in the Hall of Fame while he's there? Because right. Why would you not? I mean, it's going to happen.
Are they going to let Draymond Green come in and mop the floors? Hang the pictures on the wall and then leave?
Getting Draymond
Thanks for
Green.
Your contributions, Draymond. This guy carried your entire career.
Is there a backpack of Draymond Green hanging up on the wall?
You're the backpack, bro.
It's just Draymond as a backpack.
If you got drafted by Sacramento, you're just a bigger version of Dylan Brooks, you jackass. Nobody knows who
that
you
is
are.
So disrespectful, but no, also probably
it is
not
so
wrong.
True. He can't shoot.
I know.
He has no offensive game to speak of whatsoever.
Well, he sets great screens and he's a good passer.
You know what helps to set great screens with? Shooters! Maybe the greatest of all time. Who now has a Hall of Fame exhibit?
We got shooters!
Acting
Let's
like
go!
You're a top 20 player in the history of the league because you won championships. Sit down.
put that as a poll question. Draymond Green's drafted in Sacramento. Is he Dylan Brooks? A lot more to get into. Lance Taylor's going to join us at the top of the hour. He is one of the hosts of Next Round Live, a great college football-based show in the South. We taped an interview with him yesterday after the show, so we're going to dive into college football coming up at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague, it is 7:41 on the Fan.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Look, run down a couple things here. We'll talk with Lance Taylor, dive into some college football. John Summerall, the new coach of the Florida Gators, is really pushing my theory of, like, the tanner the coach, the better the program sits.
He's very tan.
He is super tan.
Very tan.
So either Florida's going to be an underrated wagon this year, and he just told us with his look, right. Or my theory is a little incorrect and not perfect.
God, Lanning better show up in Chicago next week as a White Walker, man. Don't be playing with me, dude. There is too much at stake this year, Dan. Don't let me down.
By the way, one of our P1s, Rich, I appreciate and kind of hate this. He sent us that he has a simulator in his backyard in Scappoose.
Yeah, he built one.
I mean, it's...
Looks like it gets the job done. That's all that matters. I asked him the price tag. You don't got to tell me a specific dollar amount, but give me a ballpark. What ballpark are we in right now? Ballpark. Can you put me in left field? Just give me a gist of how much that's going to cost.
By the way, a couple of Martys we omitted. Marty Johnson, a legendary Sheldon High School football coach. Dusty would obviously know that.
Yes, he would. Yep. Shout out to Sheldon High School.
And our overlord, Mr. Cooley, is Marty McSorley, which is a hockey player I looked up.
I was surprised you didn't bring up Marty McSorley in hindsight after the segment.
Yeah, I know. I should have.
I think he retired in 1999, so I was
a little
pumped.
He was Wayne Gretzky's protector there with the Oilers.
We also had listeners chime in with Marty Scorsese.
I mean, it's the greatest Marty of all the Martys.
How do we forget Marty Scorsese? Man. That's a big one. That's a big kahuna right there.
That feels like a bad...
That's an omission.
Yeah.
That's our bad. And up.
That's a bad one.
That one's on us. We'll be better from here on out.
Yeah, Marty, the poll question is up, by the way. What should Dirt name his second child?
Yes.
These are your four options. Are you ready?
What do we got?
Okay, so Dirt's expecting sometime in the mid to late September, early October zone. So we won't have Dirt. He's going to be out.
I won't get to come on maybe and laugh about USC losing again to Oregon and now making it 11 straight years that they have not beaten the Ducks.
Or you timed it well, USC beats you, and you're like, thank God I don't got to talk about that.
I'll see you in 3 weeks.
But I will tell you this. If USC beats Oregon this year and Dirt is gone, I don't care if it's 8 weeks, 5 weeks, 4 weeks, or two, it will be a topic on his first show. I don't care what Oregon has done since.
Right.
It'll be a topic.
They could have run the table.
I want
Ohio
Danny
State,
Meringue.
Michigan, everybody.
Look, he half-assed the paint last year. Danny Meringue did a terrible job. He didn't pay it off for weeks. He waited. It was just a little. There was no actual face painting involved.
It was pretty bad.
He absolutely lowballed that, and he needs to. He should look in the mirror and question himself and his integrity. When we make that bet and when Oregon beats USC again this year, I want him to wait to pay off the bet until my first day back I am out for that
That's
show.
That's right.
Don't be paying that off while I'm not here. I want to see that green and yellow face, baby.
We'll make him do it again if he tries to
double dip the chip.
Slide that under the radar.
Will we?
Yeah.
We'll see. What name should at Dieter Johnson pick for his second child? Marty.
Marty's in the mix now. I got to text the wife, see how she feels about Marty.
It's an adorable little name to say.
Now, let me ask you this, though. Can I ask this? Is Marty too hot right now? Wasn't the movie named Marty Supreme?
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that too, like, am I jumping on a bandwagon here?
No.
It's like becoming a, you know, all of a sudden I'm a Yankee
That's not your
fan.
Inspiration for it, so I think.
Okay. If you heard that I decided to name my kid Marty, would your thought go to the movie?
Not necessarily.
No.
Okay. I'm just asking. I never saw the movie. So
I saw the movie. I enjoyed the movie.
I don't think the movie's going to be that iconic all time to.
No, certainly not.
Yeah.
You're probably right. You also didn't watch it. It's a good little movie. Okay, so here are your options.
She's playing ping pong.
I think there's a name that you're putting on this list that's more in line with what you're asking.
Ooh.
Okay, so here are your four options.
All right, we got Marty.
Marty. Yeah.
Marty's in there.
Do we have Milton?
Wyatt.
Oh,
nah,
Wyatt.
Milton's not going to happen. I want Milton.
Rudy.
Yeah.
Rudy's not going to happen.
Rudy. He's 5 foot nothing, 100-something. You hung in with the greatest team in the land for 2 years. Charlie or Chuck, depending on what you're going to call.
Could go either way.
Becomes a Chuck, starts as a Charlie. Those are your four options at Durden's Break. Right now, Wyatt is running away with it.
Yeah.
That's the name. If you're worried about Marty, am I jumping on a Trent? You live in Portland. You live in Eastmoreland. Mm-hmm. There is, without a doubt, at least six other Wyatts.
You think there's a lot of Wyatts in Portland?
Yeah.
I think Wyatt is a...
Has Wyatt become a popular
Wyatt's
name?
Wyatt's become a popular
Those
name.
Those are the kind of the names
right
that they're
up
coming
there
with
Liam
now.
And Ethan
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, Ethans and Liams. And there's certain names, and Wyatt is definitely in that box.
I'm going to look up and see if I can find the top baby boy names of Oregon of 2025.
Oh, that's a good one.
See if I can find that. There's got to be a list out there, right?
There is a list.
Caleb's got
to
still
All right,
be
here
on
we go.
Caleb's
According to the most popular baby boy names in Oregon in 2025. You ready for this? Let's Oliver, go. Number one.
Where is this? Oh, I know an Oliver kid.
Ollie.
This is according to, I don't know. It's
Ollie? You're going to call him Ollie? I wouldn't call him Ollie.
Well, evidently I've already done this because Theodore was number two. Although he was 2024, we jumped the trend. You bastards jumping on our bandwagon. Liam, three.
Told
Nailed
you.
It. See how many others you can guess in the top 10. Fire away. What else do you think are popular names?
I think Jacob.
No Jacob.
Oh, okay. Hmm.
Some of them are, there is a Jack that's close. Jack was a top 10er.
Okay.
Henry is in there.
Yeah. See, this is what I'm saying. Wyatt, Henry.
Noah.
Theodore.
Mateo.
Yeah.
That's, we have a neighbor kid named Mateo. Hmm. Benjamin, Hudson, and
yeah.
William.
See, Wyatt is in that category. It might not be on the list, but it's in the category.
I don't know how a white Moses would look, but I did contemplate Moses, and then when we moved into our house, the kid
Pilots
across
had
the
street, a white Moses on the basketball team
they?
For a couple years. Moses Wood.
There's a kid across the street from us. His name is Moses, and I thought, damn it, now I can't do that one. That one's off the list. But Moses Johnson was, I entertained the idea. Acronym MJ. Stick out your tongue. I believe I can fly.
I don't know if this was a song from church camp I went to once or a church that I attended when I was a child, but there was a song about Moses.
Church camp. Good times.
Pharaoh.
Is there a video of you?
That might be.
I want to see you at church camp.
With a spin on Louie.
Yeah, that's fantastic. That was a real song.
You're in there like... clapping around with your robe on in the back. Yeah! Pharaoh! Woo! Parted the CEE.
Oh, my God. Have you seen Four Christmases with Vince Vaughn?
It's one of the all-time great movies.
It's
got to
be an adaptation, right? What?
You've never seen Four Christmases?
With Reese Witherspoon.
With
it was came out years ago.
I know of it. I
it's
haven't
a good movie.
Seen it.
It's a
the
good
church
movie.
Scene in that movie is like a, one of the funniest scenes
I would
ever.
Say if you wanted to know what I was like at church camp, go rewatch Vince Vaughn as the father of Jesus in that scene because he's not religious when he came in.
No.
But he starts performing. No. He's like...
Yeah,
he starts leaning into it. That was me at church camp.
We must protect this baby.
Oh, White Moses, that's great.
White
you
Moses
put it on a list.
Moses got
Moses is better than Rudy.
I just can you do the name in the neighborhood if the other's already another kid, and then you're like, hey, here's our new baby. By the way, we use the same name as you. I feel weird about that. I don't know why, but I feel weird about that.
Well, there's speculation in our family that people have accused us of stealing somebody else's name
Ooh,
idea. For
you've
their
had these
kid.
Accusations.
I've
huh?
heard through the grapevine, and I just like I remember the moment. That's not accurate at all.
So somebody else had a same name as one of your girls.
They were thinking about it.
This and is your we seven like, situation. They threw seven out and they stole seven, huh?
It's probably a two sides thing. They feel differently than we do, but I completely disagree. I actually took a lot of pride in our kids' names.
Yeah. Johnny Johnson. People are texting in Finn. I appreciate it.
Johnny Johnson. JJ?
We had a Johnny Johnson in Oregon.
I have a nephew named JJ.
Johnny Johnson was a wide receiver.
Well, there
in the
was
crystal ball
era. Sonic player from, I think, the championship era in the late 70s, Johnny Johnson.
Mm.
Your kid is bright. Beach blonde hair. You having another one that looks exactly like Teddy, but his name is Moses is
would
the
be pretty funny. Would it
it's
not
a,
be?
It's a funny.
It'd be pretty
outcome.
Funny, would it not? You want him to part the sea? He'll part the sea for you, buddy.
Can MJ. We call him Mo Johnson,
dude? Mo, yeah, I'd have no problem with that.
Great Mo's, Mo Vaughn, Mo Cheeks.
That's yeah. right.
Moe's in The Simpsons.
Moe, yeah. Yeah. Moe's Bar.
That's got to count for something, right?
Dude.
That's out there.
Moe Johnson.
I loved Moe. Who didn't love Moe Vaughn?
I loved Moe
Vaughn. Who didn't love, like,
the elbow pad?
I don't care who you rooted for. He was a bulldog.
Boston was irrelevant.
Moe Johnson's a fullback at Cleveland, isn't
dude,
he?
Absolutely.
Another
is.
One of their 1-9 seasons. Dude, he is blocking through the A gap, though, baby. Dude. He took that middle linebacker out.
I'll tell you right now.
That's my boy!
Moe Johnson is Portland's Cam Scataboo. That yes. kid might not have all of it upstairs.
There's some CTE involved. There's some CTE, but he'll run your ass over, all right?
Moe Johnson.
Head on a swivel when he's coming through the hole.
Oh, we should have added Moe to that. That's a great one. All right, loaded third hour. We're going to talk with Lance Taylor. We got Status Story in the fourth hour, but Lance Taylor, one of the hosts of Next Round Live, a great show down south that talks college football, SEC Media Day, a lot in the landscape of college football. Lance Taylor, hour three, Dirt and Sprague on 105.1, The Fan.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.